Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us here on 1340 WNBS, our show streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable, and we are joined by our good friend Ed Chapman, our founding member of the show, as we like to say, and always love to be able to take advantage of Ed's insight and perspective, built from lots of different things, certainly now more than two decades of coaching experience, and Ed, as a father, raising a couple of guys who have loved sports and love lots of different things about sports. And so Ed wanted to jump in, and I don't know how much of it you caught earlier. Ed did admit to listening in on his way in, but I was treating again the topic of specialization, or attacking really for me the anti-specialization factions out there. Look, I get it. I think we all do. Too much of anything is not a good thing. I mean, we've been taught about moderation in places from the Bible to our parents, and yeah. And it is reasonable to be diversified and have multiple passions. And I think the key for me when it comes to the words kids and sports is, are you enjoying what you're doing? Are you benefiting from it? You don't want to be miserable, and you don't want to be harmed. And while I'm not advocating for every child out there focusing on just one sport, I think for some people it is appropriate and can even be good when handled the right way. But what I am tired of is people attacking people for pursuing this, that, or the, it's basically become a world of, if you don't do it like I think it ought to be done, you're wrong.
That's true, and I caught part of the Cardinals game yesterday, and Al Raboski was riffing on this as he had spoken to he was talking about the Seager brothers, Corey and Kyle, and they had, in discussing with them, life growing up in North Carolina and things like that, and, he talked about that in their house they only had one choice, and that was you play something in the fall, you play something in the winter, and you play something in the spring. And so for them, it was soccer, basketball, and baseball, and their parents gave them no choice. But what I would say is those guys have proven to be Major League Baseball talented. They were extremely talented with some natural gifts. Whatever you choose to believe about talent and how people are athletically gifted, whatever. The fact of the matter is their attributes physically enabled them to still be as good as they needed to be to play professional baseball at the highest level, in spite of the fact that they didn't play it and focus on it consistently. Right. And that's fine, and that's wonderful. And yet there are there are some who are not as gifted in those areas athletically, who do not have all of the hand-eye coordination and all of the what we would call natural gifts physically. And therefore, they may find that it's actually less enjoyable to try to play two or three sports, because they find a high level of frustration.
They're not as good as they want to be.
That's right. That's right. They're not. They have to play they can only play a limited role and only have a limited impact on the success of the team by spreading themselves across two and three sports. So what is wrong with that particular young man or young lady deciding there's one I like way better than the others, there's one that I can have a stronger impact in, and I would rather dedicate my time and attention to that? And so, Raboski's, his argument in favor of, hey, play everything, is that there are lessons learned in other sports that carry over to each one, and so on and so forth. And I would say to you that there are lessons in self-discipline and dedication and making tough choices,
yep,
that carry over into other areas of life when you decide to dedicate yourself to one because that's the only one that you want to. Because, again, like you said, they need to be enjoying it. They need to be doing it not because mom and dad desire for them to play such and such sport. You know, dad played such and such sport, so now I need to, or mom did it, and I feel like I have to. that should never enter into the equation once they get to be into high school, in my opinion. They should be able to make that call for themselves, and they need to play it because they love it and enjoy the team, the sport itself, and the camaraderie. And then if they have a burning desire to be the best they can be in one particular one and they decide to make that their focus, what's wrong with that? Because life is full of tough decisions and choices, and if you're making them at age 14, 15, 16, you are getting good practice for the rest of life.
Well, and you have seen your kids have to make these decisions.
Right, right. Carson going into his junior year and has decided to step away from basketball, and his decision was based on the realization of what it was going to take for him to play a major role on the team as a varsity player in the next couple of years. And then he could simply look me in the eye, me and his mother and his coach, and I had really had no play in it. He told me what he wanted to do, and he gave me the right answer. And he went and said the very same things to Terry Birdsong when he said, "Coach, I'm going to step away. I'm not going to play." He said, "I know what I need to do to get better, and I don't have a passion to work on that." And so could he still be on the team? Sure. He could have still chosen to be on the team. I could have told him, "Look, you're not quitting. That's
crazy.
You will
be on the team.
You're good enough to play. You ought to be out here playing." And he would feel responsible and obligated to me to show up, go through whatever required team functions there are, practices, weightlifting, things like that, and be on the team. And then he would potentially be spending nights in January and February rolling his eyes figuratively saying, "Why am I here? I'd rather be doing something else." And so he's made that decision. He said, "I'm not passionate enough about it to want to work on it at the level that I need to, and I would just as soon put my time and attention toward baseball and then also have the free time that a teenager wants to have. And so go get a part-time job and have a little bit of time to run around and be a kid." And there's nothing wrong with that, or at least in my opinion, there's not.
Well, and I mentioned about the pro thing, and I get where Hrabowski's coming from, talking about the Seegers, just like I get where the Fred Bowen piece here in the Washington Post is talking about what NFL draftees did. But it's so that's so backwards in terms of being able to use that for your argument, because these people want to start out by telling parents, "Your kid's probably not going to be a pro, so let them enjoy everything." But then to back up their argument, here comes the straw man. "Well, look at what these pros did." And as you said about the Seeger brothers, as I said about NFL draftees, they would have been what they are whether they played multiple sports or not. Corey Seager's not Corey Seager of the Dodgers because he played soccer. LeBron James ain't LeBron James because he played 3 years of high school football.
Right. That's
He's
right.
He's what he is because the Lord made him that way.
I mean, it's what they are good at and what they love to do. And so, yeah, elite athletes, I'll grant you there comes a point in time where the thing that takes them from the thing that takes, you know, Kyle Seager, you know, had gone to University of North Carolina to play baseball. Got to be awfully good to go on scholarship to North Carolina to play baseball. And lots of guys go there and aren't good enough to play in the major leagues for a variety of reasons. So there's no doubt that he had at some point a decision to dedicate himself very much to using his talent and maximizing his talent.
And what do we know about guys like the Seager brothers? Even as they played three sports, they were invested in what they were doing.
That's right.
They weren't just guys, "Hey, look at me, I'm on the team."
Right, right. And I mean, that's his claim to fame, besides being a Major League Baseball player, was having matched up on the basketball court growing up with Steph Curry. Having grown up in
same neighborhood,
right, in close quarters with him. So he probably made the right decision, though.
And I want to say to all these
and so
guys,
did Steph.
You know, when you have your studies, how do you explain the passion that Dominicans and Cubans and Puerto Ricans have for baseball?
Right. I mean, have we – did they burn out?
You know, I mean, really.
I mean, are we burning them out?
You know, they seem to love it.
They, yeah.
They're certainly pretty good at it.
That's right. So, I mean, the argument, I get it. I get the idea that we shouldn't take away the joy from a child or from a young adult by saying you have to turn this one sport into your job. And I think what we've done is we have seen and heard a few radical a few radical examples of parents that are going to get rich because their kid is going to be a professional fill in the blank, golfer, tennis player, baseball, basketballer, and everything gets dedicated and devoted to that, and they don't get a chance to be a kid. But for the average kid who's just trying to maximize their high school playing experience because that's where the vast majority, that's where they stop. And a select few have enough passion and enough ability to play in college because, I mean, we see it all the time. There are kids good enough to play at the next level beyond high school, but they just don't want to anymore. Yep. And so, you know, you take the number of kids who can't because they're not good enough and the number of kids who don't want to, they just need to be able to use those adolescent years to experience the best. And sometimes the best is not trying to spread themselves across two or three sports and being frustrated and miserable trying to be good enough in all in two or three sports. What if the thing that makes them happy is just playing the one?
And what's a kid at a district like McCracken County supposed to do?
He has to choose, and I don't care what you say. Almost every single one of them has to choose because they won't get on the field or on the court, or at least not very quickly, if they try to play more than one sport.
Yeah. The guy who is a starter down there in multiple sports is the rarest of the rare.
Well, he's Tyce Daniel.
Yep.
He's Tyce Daniel, who's going to be a Division I football player. And, you know, a lot of guys can't be Division I football players.
Not many.
And so, and it is clear that he plays both because he likes basketball, but he doesn't love it.
Nor is he highly skilled in it.
That's right. He has some athletic gifts that translate and make him valuable in basketball. So it's tough. And again, the more you consolidate schools, the more you eliminate the number of varsity programs there are in a certain region like ours. I mean, you think about it. If we went back and did a quick study and you go back to, let's say, 1981, 35 years ago in here, how many high school teams were there in basketball and baseball in our region?
Yep.
And now how many are there? There's very few chances to be a starter.
That's right.
In your high school days. And you probably have to pick one sport if you really want to be a starter.
Yeah, especially if you want to be proficient, as we say. And be clear about this. Ed and I are not pro specialization.
No, no.
But we just ain't anti.
That's right. That's the thing. You have to – It's only right for each kid.
Do what you need to do.
That's right. The right thing is the right thing for each kid based on their circumstance and their situation. For some kid, the thing that makes them happy is having a team to play on and have whatever role they can have on those teams, and they play something year-round, two or three different sports. And that's what that is what fulfills them. For the other kid, like I mentioned my example with Carson, the thing that fulfills him is, let me see how good I can be in this one, rather than be frustrated.
Where all of this has changed. Considerations like this were never an issue when you and I were kids. This is a very modern problem. And I talked about this at the end of my spiel about this, is now kids play in an organized fashion all the time. You and I played, dare I say, thousands of baseball, basketball, football games as kids growing up in the confines of our backyard.
The backyard. Because, yeah, I mean, we would go weeks and months with nothing organized, you know, to fulfill our appetite for competition. I mean, that's just the way that it was. I mean, we could go – we played – you know, and I was talking about this the other day in basketball. We were thinking about how things had been 30 years ago. We didn't know who the best players were in the region in basketball. We were in ninth grade, and we played Paducah for the first time. And freshman basketball, we played at Paducah-Tillman. What an eye-opener that was. I didn't know they had that many good players down there. Well, nowadays, you know it in third and fourth grade.
Yep.
And so we didn't know it till ninth grade. You know, then we went a few days later. We went to Graves County and ran up against Greg Butler and Paul McKnight.
That didn't work out.
That didn't work out very well either. Like, and so we had been confined even through middle school. At Callaway. We played the Marshall schools and we played Mayfield and Murray.
Yep.
And that was essentially
that
it.
Was the schedule. That's right.
I mean, we played. You know, we scheduled maybe 10 or 12 games, and that was your middle
school
basketball.
You played all those teams twice, and that was it.
That was your middle school basketball experience, and you didn't play summer middle school basketball, and you certainly didn't play spring AAU. And so, you know, you played 10 or 12 summer league baseball games.
Yep.
And then you hopefully made the all-star team and maybe got 10 or 12 more.
Right. And that was going to be it,
and that was going to be it. And then, you know, you could play little league football – at some point, six or eight games, and then middle school basketball was about a dozen, 14 games at the most if you made a run in the tournament, and you know that was it. The off season stuff did not exist. There was no off season anything, and so it's just it's evolved or devolved depending on your vantage point. Sometimes, you know. If some is good, more is better. That's been the thought process for a long time. But I'm becoming an old fogey who's come back around to not always.
Too much is bad. I don't care how many sports you play.
That's right.
That's just a fact. I mean, and that's the other thing about overburdening the kid. Put a kid in three sports at age 10 that each is playing 30 or more games a year. To me, now you got a problem.
Well, and then we dig into an even deeper problem, potentially, of the competition becoming meaningless. There's so much competition that it loses its meaning.
That's a whole other study, isn't it?
You know, it loses its meaning, and the kid then you do worry that by the time they reach high school level competition, I've had enough.
Yep.
I've already had my fill or my extent.
I'm under pressure again.
That's right. So from age 6 to 18, there's only so much competition a kid wants to be involved with, and we're maxing it out between 6 and 12.
Yep.
And so from 12 to 18, you're starting to see, and I have seen this, and I've told you about it from my experiences up close and personal with basketball and baseball. You know, it is a struggle sometimes. You start to see – these kids, they've had enough competition. They're varsity athletes, and they are not the least bit sad when it's over.
Yep,
they're not mad at anybody, but they've had enough.
What is our chief concern as coaches is that we're not competitive.
Right, and one of the ways they lose their competitive fire is by having it over. You know, that flame has – or that fire has been stoked so many times that it loses. Yep. There's nothing – all the embers are gone. Yep. There's nothing
I hit with it all on the line 37 times when I was 11.
There's no more wood to put on the fire.
No, I'm done.
Yeah. And, you know, and then that's – you know, that is a whole other set of issues. The more you play games, the more practice is devalued.
Yep.
And that leads into your – discussion a minute ago about American basketball, foreign basketball. Uh-huh. One of the things we have done in American basketball is we have glorified competitions such as AAU.
Where there is a clock
and score and somebody's got to win and lose, and we have devalued the need to practice. I will tell you this, and this is, you know, operating on a totally different level than anything that we deal with at the local high school level here. But, you know, some of these schools that have been created specifically for basketball, like Prolific Prep out of California, right. Those fellas came into our region two or three times last year. And so one Saturday they were coming to play at Callaway High, and they were going to shoot around after we had a morning shoot around, and we had an early afternoon game at home, and then they were going to play later that night. And so Prolific Prep rolls in off the bus. They had left Memphis
the previous night in Memphis,
and had rolled in, left Memphis at say 7 or 8 in the morning, rolled in before noon, and I was talking with their coach, trying to figure out, what is this place? He goes, you know, it's not even a physical building, Prolific Prep is not even a physical building. I mean, it's just it's a basketball academy, and they get their education through something else. And he said, you know, we travel every weekend. And, I mean, we're talking Washington, Detroit, Florida, New York City, everywhere. And I said, so what do you guys think about taking a bus ride from the big city of Memphis to this place? He said, well, it's interesting. And I said, okay.
The route certainly is.
He goes, well, I like your gym there. And I said, how much do you guys practice? He said, we practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And that's it.
And then turn the lights on and go.
He said, and sometimes we don't even practice on Tuesdays. But he said, literally, that type of team that we see at Hoop Fest and these other events around here, they're playing in an event like that every weekend. And these guys are incredibly talented. I mean, they are the creme de la creme of high school recruits in many cases. And throughout their high school playing days now, they will essentially – they travel on Friday or Thursday night into Friday – play on Friday, play on Saturday, sometimes play on Sunday, get Monday off, maybe practice three times in a week.
At best, they average a practice per game.
That's right. So three practices in a week will be matched with three games every weekend.
Yep.
You know, either one on Friday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, or maybe two on Saturday.
Wonder why your offhand's not getting any better.
You know, and so that's the thing. People want to say, what's wrong with American basketball? Well, that's part of it. It's constantly showcase, and it's not, you know, there's no need to skill develop if you are a highly skilled 15, 16, 17 year old. What's the motivation to keep improving?
Transitioning into this subject matter, and I didn't realize that there were portions of the media who still didn't realize this. But apparently some of our American basketball media lost their mind at the idea that several foreign gentlemen were drafted on Thursday night. This isn't new,
is
it?
This isn't new, but I think it became more pronounced.
Yeah.
It became more pronounced because, you know, there was not very much depth in the American
portion of the
talent
draft
pool.
This year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so – and even a lot of the American names were – like who? I mean, we're talking guys from Cal,
right,
and Washington, who
those guys.
See, that's like we don't even know those guys.
I don't know who Deonte Murray is. I don't know who Marquise Chris is. I don't know these guys.
That's right. We didn't know those guys. They didn't play. You know, they played out on the West Coast, things like that. So the few guys we knew Simmons, we knew Ingram, we knew Denzel Valentine. And we knew the Kentucky guys, and that's about it.
Hey, and I said last week, today, and especially more than ever, but especially now, you have to separate college basketball and professional basketball into two different – they do not cross over in any way.
Right.
I mean, college basketball, if you want college basketball to matter, you better be able to accept it as its own entity, as in not professional basketball.
Yeah.
And professional basketball is just a completely different world. You and I grew up – Michael Jordan was going to go from the college basketball ranks to dominate the NBA. Patrick Ewing, same. Hakeem Olajuwon, a foreign guy, but he was a college basketball star, at Houston, five slam a jamma. He was going to go from there, and that's how it worked. That's how it worked. And now you tell me Juan Hernan Gomez is the 15th selection. What's a Hernan Gomez?
All right.
What's going on here? We can't handle it.
Well, that's right. We have no frame of reference, and they – you know, again, it feels like, hey, these American guys that we see play.
Because, I mean, Buddy Hield's got to be American, right? He played at Oklahoma.
Not quite.
Jamal Murray, he's American.
Right. Not quite.
Oh, that gummit. Any American guys around here? Ben Simmons, that's a completely American name.
Yeah, but.
No.
Not really born here.
Australia.
So, I mean, it's just, it's a situation where those guys. We don't have a frame of reference. They didn't play in the college game, and so or some of them didn't. And it feels like these American guys aren't, you know, they're not getting their fair shake. Yeah. You know, somebody's taking their place. And that's the thing, is that we've known it, we've seen it. It's okay as long as there's not too many of them, and now there were too many of them. And so now we're a little bit offended. And this is something that I've thought was a decent idea even before this, but I saw it promoted by Mark Adams on Twitter. He said, why not have an international portion of the draft, right, where everybody, you know, have whatever you want to do, have two rounds of people who have to have played in the American college system,
right,
and then have two rounds of the foreign guys that you want to draft, whatever you want to do, have them separate, like in, you know, like in Major League Baseball, there's certain guys that aren't eligible for the right draft. I mean, you have to go out and sign the Dominican kid who hasn't played, you know, anywhere in America. You have to go and find those people. They don't even have a separate draft yet for that internationally. So I don't know what you want to do, but I also have a problem with the idea that you can draft and stash those guys.
Right.
Because I think that makes them easier. That makes them easier picks.
Well, and that's what I think the American basketball fan, especially who is a casual fan of the NBA, they can't. I mean, they're just like, what?
Like, okay, here's our team. Oh,
you know,
pick some guy I can't pronounce, I've never heard of, never come over.
That's right. We had a first round pick, and he never actually play for us.
I mean, it's bad enough they've shortened the draft to two rounds from the days when you and I remember the 10-round
NBA draft. 10 rounds, baby. Everybody was getting drafted then. We would have gotten drafted in a 10-round draft. Let me say this about the international players, though, and much has been made. Our guy Fran Fraschilla is great on the European players and guys internationally all over. But Fran's talked about their club system and how much guys do practice over there. I mean, and they really do, you know, work at it. But one of the things I think that the American fan does not realize is, yes, some of these guys may have a better fundamental base. They may be more sound in some areas, but they dismiss the athletic quality of these guys. I guess there's something that, you know, we think about a Frenchman and think he's, you know, he's sipping wine as wee.
That he can't run and jump.
Yeah, he's reading some poetry. And, I mean, you could see, you know, the guy the Sixers took it there in the mid-20s, Timothy Lulu Carrot Top, whatever that, however you pronounce that. I mean, you could see that guy's highlight reel. He's an unbelievable athlete. I mean, there are great athletes all over the world.
Right. That's the thing, is that we have come to realize, or NBA executives have come to realize, that you are not limited to just the guys who made a name for themselves on the AAU circuit or in the NCAA. I mean, it's not just down to those guys anymore. You can find great athletes all over the world. We have such a developed system of amateur basketball, you know, the under 17s, the under 18s, the under 19s. You get to see these kids, and you get to see them many times matched up, because the old problem used to be the foreign guys. You would see the outstanding athlete, and you would look at him and say, yeah, but who's he playing against? Those guys don't look very athletic, so maybe he wouldn't translate to the NBA game. But now you can see them matched up more often against similarly talented players, and you can make that decision that this guy's worth the chance. And again, when you start dealing with limited roster spots and limited amount of money that you want to spend on those guys, and especially in the first round picks, why not draft and stash a guy if you have any question, rather than get stuck with a potential dud from the United States who's going to get that guaranteed 3-year deal, and now I'm stuck with it.
Yep. And here's what's crazy about the NBA, because people get so fixated on the NBA draft like it's the biggest deal in the world, and the reality of it is, usually on average, 5, 6, 7 good players will emerge
from a given class.
And that's amazing. Because you think about the deep rounds of the playoffs, not just the finals, the deep rounds of the playoffs, how many rookies playing a huge role in the deep rounds of the playoffs?
It just doesn't happen very often.
No.
I mean,
it is a
very
man's
rarely
league. A that's man's right league.
And that's the thing, is if you go back and you take the rosters of the four teams that made it to their conference finals, and you start laying out which draft did he come from, which draft did he come from, you know, it'll be spread out over 12 years or more worth of drafts, And there'll be the international guy, there'll be the undrafted guy, there'll be, you know, you start laying it all out there. It's not all lottery picks.
No.
And so, you know, if you're going to make your way in the league, you're going to make your way in the league, no matter where you got picked.
Yeah, but you're probably going to make it with a lunch bucket.
That's right.
And a hard hat.
That's right. And so that's the thing is, if you know, would I have loved to have seen Tyler Ulis be a first-round guy? Yeah, sure. But if he's going to make it, he's not going to make it because, hey, well, he's a first-round guy. I guess we'll keep him in the league beyond this rookie contract. Yeah. No, if he's going to make it, he's going to make it because he deserves it and because he's earned it. And same
if he makes it, he will have really earned
it. That's right. And so that's true of any of those guys. Once, you know, even if you're a first-round pick, that just buys you 3 years of security.
But yeah, get you guaranteed paid.
After that, all bets are off.
Yeah, you're going to have to play.
You're going to have to deserve it from that point forward. They're not going to look back and say, well, you know, he's a first-round guy. We thought he was great. No, he's had time to prove himself.
How good do you figure Ben Simmons is going to be?
That's a question mark. I mean, he could be a transcendent type player. I mean, really, with, you know, the length and athleticism that is similar, you know, with his – I don't know how much thicker he's going to get in terms of bulking up. But you're talking, you know, you're talking Kevin Durant type build, maybe a little stronger, great passer, great rebounder.
I'll tell you the most interesting thing I have seen suggested with Ben Simmons, with what should be done with him, is that he should be Magic Johnson.
Just be a point guard. Okay, so what if he's 6'10"?
Yep.
So what that Magic was 6'9"? I mean, somebody finally.
Well, and see, the thing about it is you get the
rebound, just go.
Is where I bought into this was Magic couldn't shoot the ball either.
That's right.
Couldn't shoot it to save his life.
And Simmons is not going to be a great shooter, it doesn't appear, ever.
I mean, even when Magic became a perimeter shot maker, it was the most unsightly standstill shot put deal you ever saw.
That's right.
And yet Magic Johnson is arguably a top five guy in anybody's list.
I mean, he's the point guard's point guard.
You know.
And so,
it's interesting.
That's the thing. If that's what Simmons desires to be, is that guy. Does he have, of course, you know, you need Magic's charisma. You need his leadership abilities.
He seems to be short in those areas.
That's the thing. He seems a little dull. He seems a little dull, even a little reticent, you know, to handle the limelight.
He's one of those guys, he makes you wonder if he likes basketball or if he's just good at it.
Right. And so you wonder, if he looked miserable at LSU with the amount of losing they did this year, how's he going
to – Welcome to Philly, baby!
Where we lose 60 to 70 annually.
And where their fans are famous for their pleasantness.
Right, yeah. They'll just love you up and make you feel right at home no matter what.
You don't have to worry about being a bust or nothing, man. Right. It'll be okay.
They won't be tough on you. They'll give you 4 or 5 years to get it straightened out. But he could. I mean,
he's unique.
He could be an incredible talent that doesn't have to be a big scorer to be a game changer in the league.